Wake up, Denver.
It's not Marvin Gaye.
They do a pretty good job. Real good. Who are these guys?
They're called the, let me see, Rolling Pebbles.
Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones, yeah.
I have heard of them.
Yeah.
And I have heard of you, Bob Belts.
Bo Mitchell.
Welcome aboard.
It's great to be back with you this morning.
Program called You Get the Blessing. Maybe exactly what you need to listen to this morning for 30 minutes as you meet our special guest today, Leroy Maddox, and Leroy's life hopefully will inspire you, touch your life in such a way as you'll want to seek a relationship with Christ if you don't have one, and be inspired to do more in your relationship with Christ if you already do have one. So, Leroy, welcome aboard.
Thanks, guys. Great to be here with you guys. Two legends. I've heard about you guys. I really haven't been around you much, but
only legends in our own
minds. Yeah,
that's seriously.
Spiritual giants.
Belts is a genius. I like to think of myself as a mental midget. Correct?
I just started teaching Revelation at Highline Community Church,
and which you've written a book about.
And I was pondering how the risen and exalted Christ, when he appears to John there on Revelation, has a hair as white as wool. And I'm thinking, I'm getting there, and God likes old guys.
He does.
The Ancient of Days.
Silver hair. You look good. And so do you, Leroy. I've been knowing you now for like, what, 20 years maybe? 15
probably
years? 2 months? An hour?
12. I probably
10 or 12.
Maybe met you once, maybe, just but heard about you, obviously, through just those channels of being around.
I know I've met you once or twice, and I've heard you speak before, and you're a great guy. And let's tell our listeners and Belts our common ground, because my spiritual dad is his spiritual dad.
Yeah, Don Reberts. You know what? I was telling Mark outside that I was brought up in the church, and but it was more of this fear kind of Christianity or whatever. I look back on it, but I mean, I was in church 3 times a week, so I knew the Bible more than probably most kids did. But once I got away from the house, man, I went nuts. I mean, it's game on, right? I'm gonna hit it. I'm gonna hit it hard. So it was, you know. But I always had this, I don't know, this sense, and you know, God just, and then through just a lot, how God works is amazing. So through all of this, and then my life. I had a lot of other stuff going on that, you know, I don't even want to probably talk about much, like all of us do. I can talk, and I have shared on it, but
my list is better and wilder than
yours. Yeah, I'm sure it is. But I was doing all this Ironman training and training guys all over the place, right? And we're racing around the world, and I was in Germany racing and had a meltdown on the bike. 112-mile bike, you know, we've already swam somewhere in Germany. Outside of Frankfurt, and then we're on the bike, and I just have this sense God just says, you have to quit. And I'm like, what are you, have you lost it? What do you mean? This, I mean, it was my life. Everybody knew me through this. This is my domain, right? I'm starting to get good, and it's powerful. And I got 6 guys, their first Ironman, that are with me over there racing. And I mean, I'm crying on the bike, still biking, but I'm crying. I'm just like, I can't quit.
So you're having a spiritual encounter in the midst of this,
and you're aware of it.
And,
oh yeah, I mean, I am. It is hit me hard. Like I don't even know how to describe it. It was just, you're supposed to quit. So I go through, and I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. And then I went on, finished the race, right? Because I will not quit anything. You'd have to, right? I'd have to be dragged off by policemen or something. But that's just, and so I get done, and I tell all the guys this. I finish ahead of everybody. I take my bike back. I get something to eat. These guys are first-timers, and I come back and wait for them. And then, you know, that night I say, man, guys, I'm supposed to quit. And they just start, right, they just start laughing. Like, right, you're going to quit. I said, no, I'm going home, and I'm quitting. I'm quitting the club. I'm doing all these things, right? Well, I come home, and my big mistake is I call Don Reberts.
How'd you know to call Don Reberts?
Well, Don and I were meeting. So I think Don needed like a challenge when he met me, like, who's this psychopath that's just got, right? And again, I'm thinking I'm pulling it off. I've got a family, I'm racing, right? I'm training guys. I'm in a Bible, right? I think I'm wired in. I think I am, right, this guy.
And so, few people, by the way, Leroy, that don't know Don Reavers listening, he came to Denver in the mid-60s as a young life leader. That's where I met him.
Yeah.
And then he started Denver Leadership Foundation maybe 15 years after that, by 1980, and has been doing that ever since. His wife,
and WizKids. And
wife Diane and Don founded WizKids, which mentors children, and he's just an interesting, amazing, the word, style of soft, but...
Oh, he's not soft. He hits you right in the in a way that is, he comes across soft, but he's...
appealing style.
Velvet-covered brick.
There you go. So, but the message is clear with Don always, Christ. You need Christ. What you need is Christ. He just keeps
And that's what I didn't get. I'm like, saying I believe in Jesus, right? Even when I was partying, I believed in Jesus, right? He's great. Love this dude, right? I mean, I didn't have a lot of use for any of it right then. I mean, I'm making great money. I'm doing all these things. So I sat down with Don in Poppy's, and Don pulls out a napkin, right? You know how he does it. Anybody that's met with Don. So he pulls out this napkin, starts drawing those circles, right?
Belts is good at those.
You guys that are drawers. So he draws these circles. And we're going, and he's telling me some crazy story about some guy. It was probably you, Bo. I mean, it was crazy, right? So he's telling me a story. Doesn't mention the guy's name, but I'm sitting there, and it hits me. It's like, holy God, I'm God. I mean, I think I'm God, right? I mean, I have this whole world built. Hmm. Everything around me is, I'm just sitting there, and it just, I'm just beside myself. And I said,
he helped you to realize you weren't God.
Yeah,
which that's is pretty good. There's a breakthrough.
It was a pretty powerful breakthrough for it. But I mean, you know, I was on the throne. Everything we did in our family, my training, my work, so I leave Don, I go out to my car, I have a breakdown. I'm sitting there like, what am I supposed to do? So a week later, I'm still struggling. So I biked to the top of Mount Evans. Took me 10 hours to go up there and home. 140 miles, right?
That's not what we do when we're struggling.
I always have an engine on my bike. This is the key, by the way, Leroy.
I have to do things. I have to. So I'm up there by myself, right, fighting with God that I still can't quit, right? Because this is my whole everything, man, is I got to go. I got to race. I got so many goals I want to do, right? And then finally, I get up there. I'm coming back down. I miss one of my kids' birthdays. The party, because I'm on this bike ride. Just something so bad, right? So I come back, and that was it. I quit the club where I was at because it was just too much influence of this. And again, I still, if people know me, like they saw me today, I still did run 8 miles today. But believe it or not,
that's longer than we drove, by the way.
So I love training, and that's been my whole thing now. I mean, I am really a Timothy of Don Reavers speaking into my life. Because you know what he showed me? And it's like you said, that soft way, but he showed me who Jesus Christ is, the power of who he is in my life. And I've had a lot of struggles of things I've been through that Don and, him and Diane have to pray continually for me of things that have happened through the last 12 years, but God has shaped me for the ministry that he's called me to with men and young men, whether it's in hoops or the platoons we've created, and getting to guys that we are these spiritual athletes, that we are you go into the strict training, right, that he has called us to, and we're not fighting aimlessly, we're not running aimlessly, we're not punching at the wind, we are flat out. It's like in football, right, when they say, hey, don't lead with your helmet. We lead with the helmet. We get Satan and we hit him hard. That's what, so that's my, again, I'm probably off base, but I am focused. I love Jesus, right? And I'm going to get to guys and I'm going to love them. I'm going to show them where, and I'm going to share my story. I'll share it anywhere about how messed up of a dad, a father, a believer I really was. And this is why. And it took a guy, right, to just share it with circles. It shows it's so, right? And somebody that ran, not to give up on me, because Don had to go. I think it was a challenge. I think he was bored. I think he just is like, man, if I can get this guy to follow Jesus, God can really work. He probably had a whole new revival of himself because he's like, this guy's jacked.
I thought I was Don's only convert after 50 years of ministry. Turns out there's two of us. But the circles that you're describing, Bob, briefly share those circles with the audience.
Yeah, if you can imagine, if you're listening, if you can imagine, as Leroy said, maybe just three circles next to each other. And in the center of each of those circles, if you could imagine a little chair that represents a throne. It's like the control center of our life. Who's in control of your life? And all of us, at some point in time, that throne is occupied by ego or self. We're in control of our own life. And Leroy, I think you really hit the nail on the head, because when ego or self is in control, what we've basically done is made ourselves God. You know, that was the expression you used. And imagine like a cross outside that circle. And the Bible calls that the natural man, the person that's never made a commitment to Christ. Ego's in control.
Outside the chair or clear outside the
clear circle? Outside the circle first, okay? And then really what coming to Christ involves is opening our life to Him, dethroning ego, basically, and inviting Christ to come and really be Lord of our life, to sit on the throne of our life. And now the cross is not only inside the circle, it's on that throne, and ego has been dethroned and lives in that kind of relationship. The third circle for most of us that have come to faith in Christ, frankly, I find multitudes of people that have committed their life to Christ and don't understand the third circle, which is that we always have the freedom, basically, to dethrone Jesus and let ego take over again. And the Bible calls that the carnal or the worldly or the fleshly Christian, and when Jesus is still in our life, but we're back in control as if we're God, and our life can be just as messed up as it was before we even came to Christ. And so, you know, on a daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes moment by moment basis, I think what all of us need to learn is to move from that third circle back to that middle circle, and just simply to say, Lord, I've taken control again, but I willingly get off the throne and ask you to, you know, take control of my life again. And when that happens, then we can begin to really live more consistent spiritual life. So
to prepare you for what you're doing now and getting ready to describe to us, Reverts, right man, right spot, right timing. You listened. You got off that throne. Christ assumed the proper position on the throne, and your life now looks like what? Tell me what all you're doing now that God's prepared you for.
Well, he had to clear that time, right? I mean, that was the biggest thing. I was training 4 to 5 hours a day, 8 hours every Saturday and Sunday, right? So no time. I had no time to do what he really was calling me to, to men. So now my life is, I mean, I got a family. I have 5 kids, 27 all the way down. We just adopted a daughter 3.5 years ago, so kind of starting over. And now my life is designed. I have a platoon that meets every Friday at my office. I've done it for 10 years now. We don't miss a Friday unless it's Christmas.
Now describe what you mean a platoon.
Yeah, Bible study, but we call it platoon because it sounds tough, right? And guys will come.
How many guys show up?
Anywhere from 15 to 20 every Friday. We've been meeting for over 10 years now. I have these messages that we don't go through a book that God gives me every week. So that, like last week, comfortable. So I do a lot on training because it's just something that relates to me. And I talk a lot about, you know, what us guys like to talk about. But how do you push your body? So like this, comfortable being uncomfortable. So like when I train, there's got to be times I got to be comfortable being uncomfortable if I'm going to win that race. So how as a believer can we be comfortable being uncomfortable? Or I always have a tagline. Think of John Wooden as a coach when you study him. I always had these words he hit with these kids. Wasn't this verbal throw up on you. Hit you with the word. So like last week, living up. How do we live up? We're going to go up in the resurrection, but how do we live up as guys? So my thing is now, and I meet with guys, and I just, you know what Don taught me? Be available. Show up with the guys that you believe are going to have impact, that God's called you to meet with. And I'm letting my calendar be dictated by God. Hopefully bring some business from time to time too, right?
What is your business?
I do large insurance things. I meet with wealthy families on their planning for state taxes, overfunded things. So glorified insurance guy, pretty much. But I only work with certain kinds of people, wealthy clients, and help them do their planning and meet
with them. That's why we've never gotten together.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Leroy, we'll never get together. I'm sorry. No, just kidding.
But, you know, again, that's my day. Mm. So, and then I've done some things. I was telling Mark that when I was training all these basketball kids, I have a little guy that's a sophomore in high school now. Not a little guy, really good player. That when I had them all young, I decided, you know what, I'm going to open up my home. And so what I call it, I have a Mighty Men text I send out on Sundays too that goes out to a bunch of guys. So something we're supposed to be on point about. And then I started this thing called Young Warriors for the little guys. So I had the families in every Sunday night at a certain period. We would, over a few months, we would meet with these, the families on my basketball team or anybody that wanted to come. My wife would make the main course. Everybody bring a side dish. The kids would play basketball outside on our court. No coaching allowed. I'd tell the dads, you just have to be his family. We'd eat, and then I'd have a message. I told the families, I'm going to pray with your kids, and I'm going to have a biblically based message about what a young warrior looks like today. So those have been the passions that I feel God's just said, man, go here, go hard, and
how about hoops? What's hoops?
I coach basketball.
Okay.
So I'm still coaching eighth grade. I coach my son's 16 and under team in AAU sports in the summer, and I'm just involved. I mean, when you talk to people, that's what they'll say. He's a psychopath about hoops. So
what about the Nuggets? You love them?
You know, I do love the Nuggets. Yeah, I like Ty Lawson, and my son's trained with Ty a little bit through that, and my son's being recruited by some pretty good schools already. He's a sophomore, so he'll play 100 games every year. So we're on the road.
He's as tall as you?
Yeah, he's an inch shorter right now, but he's probably got another couple inches. So, mission with him is too, man. This is a platform. When I used it, it was more of it was me. God's given you a gift. When you walk across those lines under that court, you are a warrior for him. So really of speaking into him about that leadership, what's expected, and challenging kids and guys. I mean, nobody's challenged anymore. It's just everybody gets the oranges at halftime. Everybody gets a trophy. We can't say anything that's not right politically, not really correct about somebody, instead of just saying, you know what? You're not doing good at this right now, but here's how you can. Here's what Christ has gifted you to do. Don't sit in the pews. Let's get out. Get out there and love somebody. And the way you love is called time. Spend some time with somebody. Speak into their life. Speak greatness. Spirit-generated words will change men if we challenge men.
So Bob teases me about the common ground of athletics that seems to be the world.
Yeah.
I've always lived in, because my dad was a great baseball player. But I know Bob's teasing me because
it's just loving teasing
but,
and stuff.
So explain all things to all men. What's Paul mean there, and how cool it is how God uses us that way and is using Leroy in that way, had prepared him for it both sides. This is the world he was great in and he loved, and then all of a sudden Reverts comes along, anchors him in Christ, and now he gets to do all the same stuff for a much higher calling. So what's that verse mean?
I think you've just described it great. I mean, you know, normally, and I think if we pray that God would bring the right people into our life, and the other thing is kind of pray, maybe keep the wrong ones away. We do that at our church. We've actually got a smaller church because we pray that God would keep people away from Highline that aren't supposed to be there. Because, you know, again, it's common ground. But I think if we pray like that, usually the people God brings along our path, we're going to find some common ground. I just had that experience in a motorcycle situation this week where I was with a guy and we were, you know, talking about motorcycles, and suddenly he said, you know, my wife's divorcing me after 35 years. And through the midst of the conversation where we kind of shared that common ground, I just felt nudged to say, you know, if it wasn't for Jesus, my life would be an absolute wreck, you know, and initiated a conversation. So it's common ground. Motorcycles for us was common ground. So
Paul says, I've become all things to all men, so that by all means, Christ may save some. The real Bible says, whatever man is like, I try to find a common ground with that man so I may share Christ with him and Christ may save him. So as I hear you talking about your life, Leroy, It's everything I do is all about sharing Christ and staying off of that throne, putting him there and showing others how that's how that works to be the most joyful and effective life you can live.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. I mean, and then you're empowered. Not that things are easy. I mean, I think that's another, you know, we just hear that it's not easy. I mean, I had to give something up that worldly was great to do. And let friends, I mean, you have to let things go sometimes to get the life he's really called me to. And I wouldn't give it up for anything. And I've been through some stuff that's just been brutal. And again, it was all going back to the ego. Every time I let that ego or pride go, it just, you know, you said it so great, Bob. Just anytime you go back to there, man, it's just like, oh, man, I had to learn another lesson because of my pride and my ego. And I think that's the thing as guys that we just speak into, but it's speaking just the truth, right? And we bring light to the situation. Man, it doesn't matter what the past is. This is who Jesus is right now, and he's not going to change. And here's what you can do. So I think it's just when guys hear that, it's so, and whether it's sports or whatever we use, right? And guys just need to be encouraged that, you know what? You can do this. You can mentor a kid here, right? You can mentor a guy here. You can do this and speak into his life. Just share who you are and how jacked up you are. It really works. Just say, you know, Jesus can work here. I mean, I think that's why if we're all real, right, and we share really where we're at, what we struggle with, you know, just being, I just say now, be an open book. Who cares, man? I can't hide any more of my stuff. I mean, I wouldn't be able to run for president or anything. But,
we've had all of experience watching tragic deaths. I mean, Richard Beetz was maybe the most courageous, gallant guy we've seen. I think he fought cancer for 17 years and died this October would be the fourth year without Richard. I don't know how his family still deals with it, but when my mother passed away, she got sick when I was 22. She was 50 when she got sick, and for 4 years her battle with cancer was just excruciating, and she went from 135 pound woman down to 60 pounds. And I watched this happen, and that's what's exciting about listening to you, Leroy, and watching your style and just thinking who God's bringing in to your meetings. What do you call them again?
Platoons.
Into your platoon, and who's
we're not that tough, but
who they're bringing into the young warriors and who's getting your mighty man text. But what I watched was at first everybody showed up to minister to my mom, and everybody brought food. And when the worse it got, the less most people had to say. And by the end of her life, the only people that were still there were the people that were so anchored in Christ that were still saying the same thing they said at the start. I mean, we got through the pie, the barbecued ribs, the it's going to get better, the right thing to do is go see Margaret while she's dying. Only one that were left that could really watch it were the ones that were saying, you're getting ready to be embraced by the Lord Jesus Christ in life after life. So your message is right. God's equipped you for it, Leroy. But it's interesting, we need to stay on point in terms of that message, because at some point, whether it's physical or spiritual, people we're encountering are dying. And the scripture instructs us, keep saying what you're doing, keep it simple, don't let the traditions of the packaging of man cloud the core of truth here, which is I love you. Isn't that right, Bob?
Absolutely. That's absolutely. And I'm just impressed, Leroy, too, that there's men and women out there this morning listening that really have something to give, as you've said, in terms of, you know, people whose lives they could, you know, the term that you've used and that many of my friends use, speak into their lives, you know, that there are people out there that think they don't have something to give. And I think what God would really want to say to them today is you have something to give. And again, begin looking around you at the obvious. I think that's the other thing that oftentimes we think we've got to go to Africa to be in ministry. But generally speaking, if you simply look at the way God has engineered your circumstances and the people he's brought into your life, somewhere there are people you should be plugging into.
Anything you want to say to this audience listening that might have never seen the circles?
Be open to, if somebody's trying to speak Jesus into your life and they're modeling that, just listen and be open and just say, hey, Jesus, I'm open to hearing this. Just open your heart. If you're struggling and wherever you're at, don't run. As guys, right? We always run from people, right? So we always run and try to do it on our own. Just embrace somebody that's modeling love, modeling Jesus, and just ask him, man, what's going on? And be open.
Leroy Maddox, you're a great guy and a great guest. If there's a rich guy listening that might need your business savvy, how does he get in touch with you?
He can email me at ljm@altusgrp.com.
Gee whiz, can't you simplify that a little?
I tried.
Go again, do it one more time.
ljm@altusgrp.com.
So this guy has to pay for all this ministry he's doing, y'all. So if you're looking for what he's offering in business, call him up. You're going to be in good hands. And thanks for tuning in. Leroy, thank you for doing a good job.
Thanks for being with us, Leroy.
Thanks. Great being with you too, man.
Blessings, everybody. See you next week here on You Get the Blessing. Bye.